You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. So if you'd like to see the information from the show, visit our website. We have our new site up at smartwithyourmoney.com. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about where the housing market's going and where the opportunities are, Tammy, I see just still a huge opportunity for people buying investment properties.
I do too. After seeing some of the charts, it's kind of, you know, made it a little clearer about the market and the trends that's going on, and it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, so here's what I'm seeing in the data when it comes to buying investment properties. Is first, the growth in single family rentals is unprecedented. So if we look at how many new rentals there are, so the average annual change in occupied rental units in thousands. Okay, so this has come up. It's come up dramatically. Okay, so we've seen a major surge where we're up to about 900,000 new single family rentals.
Right. Well, back when we were growing up, it was more apartments and multifamily, and now it is encroaching into some of the private subdivisions and other single family home areas.
Right. So this is the average annual growth in households who rent is growing by a whopping 900,000 units per year. So that's nearly double the annual growth of new renters in the early 2000s and more than triple the annual growth of new renters in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I mean, that is a massive number of new people coming on the market. So
right.
The interesting thing is the bulk of the growth is taking place in the single family rental market.
Right.
Not the multifamily. So This is really good news for individual investors because the large institutional investors are going to be the main ones that are going to own the multi-unit buildings, especially the really big ones. But the individual investors have an advantage when it comes to local single-family homes because an individual investor can be more nimble when it comes to understanding and analyzing the nuances of local neighborhoods and trends.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Certain strategies like rent-to-own can be very effective in these situations because the renters who rent the single-family homes are more likely to be interested in longer-term housing arrangement.
Right. It's as the investor, you're not based solely on the emotion of what's going on, like where Starbucks is or whatever, but you do have to consider that when you're investing in properties.
The other factor I mm-hmm. see on this, too, like when it comes to the data, is that mm-hmm. vacancy rates are on the decline mm-hmm. and rent increases continue to outpace inflation.
That's true. That is true. Right.
And that's likely to continue to happen mm-hmm. if we see so many of these new household formations that are going, many are going to buy, but many are going to have to rent.
So when we see the data out there about home ownership being at its lowest at this point, this is where investors can jump in and start buying up some single family homes and turn those into rental properties.
Right. And this is, it's something I have, I would call a fair amount of experience in this because I've had up to 112 rental units at one time. And flipping 190 properties over the last 20 years has given me a lot of insight in, I've done all the way from, single family up to 48 units at a time. but even the 48 unit, I'm only counting that as one flip.
Got
when
it.
We own that.
All so, right. So what are some of the benefits of buying and investing in properties?
Okay, so here are some of the benefits. First is the rental opportunity. Okay, you purchase an investment property close to local businesses, a popular commuting area or vacation spot. It may be attractive to tenants and could create cash flow. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Next is with the ongoing income and cash flow, that's something that I don't tell people to count on it with cash flow.
Right.
As prices go up more, you'll see less and less cash flow. So you don't do it as much for the cash flow reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Cash flow happens once you get the property paid way down.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And the rents continue to go up over the years. Then you have the potential tax benefits too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the tax benefits can definitely be huge for you.
All right. What should some people that are wanting to invest consider before buying some property? Because, you've gone through a lot.
Well, and I've seen the good, bad, and the ugly of it. Because I've seen people make
yeah.
millions. And I've seen people go broke because they bought properties.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I think they need to know that there's risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
Know what the risks are. And I think you need to have a decent amount of money in reserve, not just because it requires down payment, but you need to have enough money in reserve so if the property goes vacant, can you make that payment?
Right, not being tied to having that income, for sure.
Right. So mm-hmm. that's one of the big things. And and is the property in an area where you can get to it?
Okay. Right, right. Not too far away from where you already live.
Right. So, you know, if you have to drive a long way to get to it, you're not very likely to go by there very often.
Right.
I mean, it really will disrupt your life to have to go there when you get that call.
It'll become a daunting task.
Right.
So what are some other things?
Well, so when you think about owning those properties, so those are some things you have to consider. And then you have to, one of the big things to consider is, how are you going to pay for it? Okay.
Right.
How are you going to get into it?
Where
are you going to come up with a down payment?
Now, you guys at Cornerstone, you pretty much have seen almost every potential situation out there. But, you know, with Cornerstone, you guys are pretty savvy in helping people get into investment properties. So what are some of the different loan requirements that you guys require?
Okay, so when it comes to an investment property loan, it's definitely very different from one lender to another, and it's very different from an owner-occupied residence, so your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
At Cornerstone Mortgage, one of the big advantages we have is that as a direct seller to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we can go beyond the normal investor guidelines on how many properties you can get. So if you have a plan to get quite a few properties, you have to navigate through it very, very carefully, because almost any investor will max you out at four properties is the most you can own. Okay, four financed properties.
Okay.
Because at Cornerstone, we can sell directly to the agencies, so directly to Fannie and directly to Freddie, Fannie Mae will allow you to have up to 10 financed properties.
Okay.
So that's where you want to be very careful.
Just because I can have 10 doesn't mean I should.
Well,
maybe.
It doesn't mean you should, but you have to navigate carefully, because if I sit down with somebody and I'm doing a goal-setting session with them and I know that their goal is to have up to 10, okay, now I know that I better send the first several mortgages to Freddie Mac, because I want to save the Fannie Mae mortgages for once we hit that four-property limit.
Oh, yeah, okay, I could see that.
And now I'm going to make sure they all go to Fannie Mae.
That's pretty smart.
Well, and that we have to forward-think that. And mm-hmm. if you deal with somebody who doesn't understand investment properties very well, they're not going to help you navigate through that, because they're not going to know the difference.
Got it.
And especially know it by heart.
What is typically the down payment on investment properties?
All right, so down payment on investment properties, because on a primary residence you can get in, you want a conventional loan with 3% down, but on an investment property, 15% down is the number. Okay. Most people will put, and that's on a single family residence. If it's a 2 to 4 unit building, you need 25% down.
Okay.
Okay. So.
And does that change often throughout the years?
It has changed throughout the years, but it has been at this level for a little while now, several years.
So there is a possibility it could change, but for the most
part. Yeah, for the most part. In most cases, I'd tell people, if you can put 20% down on a single family residence, you're going to be a little bit better off, because there's an interest rate increase when you put only 15% down and there's private mortgage insurance on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of those two means that if you have 20% to put down, you should probably go ahead and do it. But if you only have 15% and you want to save the rest of your money to keep money a little more liquid, then 15% down is still a great option, and you'll still end up with cash flow on that, and the rates on those are still fantastic.
Now, if you're planning on using that property, that rental income, to qualify for the loan, is that even possible, or how does that work?
Okay, so you will use that rental property to qualify for the loan, but we will usually not count rent on that property.
Okay.
So normally you have to qualify without any
without
rent on the property
that. Okay.
in most cases, okay?
Okay.
And it's important that when you own rental properties that you actually do show, like if people pay you cash rent, it's important that those still hit your tax returns, because we see a lot of people where they don't declare their cash rents, okay, which the IRS, of course, isn't going to like.
Yeah, they wouldn't like that.
But it's going to hurt your ability to borrow in the future.
So just by the book is the best way to go.
Yeah, do it by the book, and any real income you have from it, it's good for it to hit your taxes, because you know, now we can use that to help you qualify for the next property.
Okay. So what are some eligible properties?
All right. So eligible properties, when it comes to buying a rental, to get the best deals on loans, you need to buy one that's already in livable condition.
Okay. Okay.
When I say livable, I'm going to say that fairly liberally, because it doesn't have to be pretty.
Okay.
If somebody's already ripped up the carpet and now there's no flooring down, you probably can't get a loan on it.
Okay.
If there's a bunch of mold on it, you're not going to get a normal conventional loan on it. You're going to have to go get a convention, or you're going to have to get a construction loan on it.
Okay.
And that's a little more complicated. You have to go through a local bank usually to get a construction loan.
Okay.
One other way you can you can borrow is some people will borrow against their primary residence in the form of a home equity loan to buy an investment property. And if they have enough equity, they may be able to pay cash for the property.
Okay.
Okay, that's if they have enough equity. Otherwise, they may be able to use it for the down payment.
Okay, so still really coming to you to find that advice on what the portfolio can handle, what would be a wise decision, which direction to go, and what kind of loan options, I guess. That's a whole other topic, isn't it?
Right, and if people aren't in a position now to be able to buy, we can at least help put them in a position. Because when you look at what are you going to do with your investment dollars, a lot of people don't have a lot of confidence in the market. If you put it in a CD, you're not even going to make a return equal to inflation. Because with the Fed funds rate close to zero, there is no return on those fixed rate investments anymore.
Right.
So you have to take a little more risk. And people that aren't super risk averse really need to consider real estate.
Right, right. It's not a bad idea. You know, I started off with one and dabbled in that, but soon learned that my personality type was not a property manager.
Right.
I think I'm more into the flipping part. I think that's where my skill set is better used.
Yeah, I think and flipping is a little tougher these days because there are not as many distressed sales out there that the money is going to get made in this market. Long term in holding properties, let the trend be your friend, and the trend is an uptick in house prices and an uptick in appreciation, and you know let that continue to appreciate while your tenant pays your mortgage down for you, and you're gaining on both sides because you're gaining with the house gaining in value, and then you're gaining by your balance going down. And you're winning on both sides of it with a long-term rental.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. It does. So how can someone get started in maybe investing in home buying?
Okay, so here is how to get started. First, if you're looking to get started, set up an appointment with me. Set up a consultation. You can text me. Send me a text and just say investment property. Send it to 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. Doug is D-O-U-G, and it's 3684, the actual numbers for it. So shoot me a text, say investment property, and we'll set up a consultation, and I'll review it with you. So then you think about the question of how do you find the properties? Okay,
right.
Here are two ways you're going to find properties. One is home scouting. Okay, we talk about home scouting on the show a lot, and this is the number one home buying app that gives you full access to the MLS, which is a multiple listing service that real estate agents use. And to get access to home scouting, you can download it on your smartphone as a quick way to search home scouting on your app store or in Google Play. And then it'll ask for a VIP code. Use the VIP code Doug H. So D-O-U-G, the letter H. That's going to be the VIP code to get into it. Or you can go to our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, look at the home search tab, and you can enter it that way if you want to do it on your computer. Here's a second way you're going to find properties. A real estate agent that understands investment properties can find you some really good deals.
Okay, they'll sit there. And you know a ton of great people that are pretty, this is their specialty.
Yes, I do. And I've screened through a lot of the best agents. We've had a lot of really good ones on the show. And I don't just refer to who the top producers are. I refer to the ones that really know the market.
Right.
Okay, that are going to represent your best interest first. So before you pick a realtor, this is where you should really reach out to me and let me make an introduction to one that I've already screened through and I already know to trust. And there's no financial arrangement between me and any of the realtors. It's just simply that I know which ones are really good at what they do.
Right. And really, I think your advice would be to really sit with you first to get pre-approved, to see how much money you have to work with as you start this process.
Right, and let's form a plan to know where you're going to come up with down payment money.
You got to treat this like a business.
It is a business plan. Yeah, it is absolutely a business. If you go into it not thinking it's a business, then you will lose money.
Yes.
All right, so if you want to buy investment properties, we say it's a great investment, and we've shown you the data for it. If you want to move on it, you want to have a goal-setting session, you want a consultation, definitely reach out to me. You can text me, text investment property to me, 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-3684. Shoot me a text or visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. So Tammy, coming up, we're going to be talking about biweekly mortgage options.
Okay.
Is it a good deal or is it not? You're going to find out the answer to that when we return. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.